Now, does anybody here work well with paper? Like, do you do paper craft or folding? Any Japanese origami? Yeah. Paper crane will do. That's your job. Can you just rip those up for me, please? Into individual numbers. References. Because we're going to hand those out. And you guys are going to do the work for me because I'm very tired. And Grace will distribute the verses. And so even if you get a toughie, I don't think there's any minor prophets there, so I should be all right. Yeah. Yep, split the work. I don't even mind if they're rough rips, it's fine too. As long as we don't have a puzzle. All right. Oh, yeah, throw them in the middle. Throw them in the middle. Yeah, any complaints go directly back to Grace. Oh. Are we waiting for anyone else? You don't look at it. Don't pick the Gospels. They're too easy. I think my plan was to go left to right in order, but that doesn't matter now. This will be interesting. I'm going to end up with most of them anyway. Yeah. Oh, Annie, you're going to do one, are you? Okay. Hang on. We good? Did you guys go in? Sure. All right. Oh, yeah. Hebrews. Yeah, you got that one. Was that just delegated?
It was.
Well, that'll be fun. Yeah. Now, how long have we got today? Okay. No, it's fine. We could go 3 or 4 hours. Yeah. So, normally, the first 3 or 4 questions is an hour. Okay, so this is a week worth of material. No, it's okay. Actually, I'll say, normally when I preach, I have 7 pages of notes. And that, and this is 5, you know, that's 5 and I've numbered them too. See, I did my...
Well, I was just going to be concerned that you didn't number pages.
I have done that before. Yeah, I've done that before, so I number. And but normally if I preach, I'm going for around about 45 or 50 minutes and I have 7 pages, so I have 5. So that allows plenty of time for you guys to give me answers for chit-chat, discussion, and lots of questions. Go whenever you Are you happy? Yeah. All right, well, let's pray. I'll ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, there are none of us here that are worthy, and none of us are deserving of even opening your word, particularly the speaker. And so we pray that you would hide me behind the cross, but also just help our hearts and minds to be kept in Christ Jesus during this time. And Lord, may we learn more of your will and your purpose for friendships. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I just thought, it's got nothing to do with the notes, and right about now, I don't know how to... Do I call you Natalie in this group, or do I call you Mrs. Roberts, or what's the... I'll just say Mrs. Roberts, you know who I'm talking about. So right now, Mrs. Roberts is thinking, oh no, he's going off script. I have no idea, this could be bad, all right? But no, it's not. So I just thought, because we've come a few times, one digitally, and this is our second time physically, and I thought we'd just tell you a little bit about us and a bit about myself as well, so you can kind of know where I'm coming from, okay? Because sometimes it's easy just to sit and listen to somebody and you think, great, but it's helpful to understand what they do and how they live and what their backgrounds are. So I grew up in a Christian home, and so there was two of us, myself and my sister, and so I was very blessed to have parents that were Christian. Okay. Some young people don't think that's a cool thing. I'll tell you right now that is the biggest blessing that you can have in your life ever, is that God gives you the biggest head start ever when you've got Christian parents. And particularly Christian parents that then want to honour God in their lives and honour God in their family, want to teach you God's word. So if you have parents at home that want to live a life as best they can according to the word of God and teach you the way that you should live, particularly in the teenage years, then that is a blessing for you. And if you push back on that, then you will miss a blessing and you're actually pushing back on God's hand. But so I grew up in a Christian home, but of course that did not make me a Christian. Okay, just because you're born into a garage doesn't make you a car. Yeah, a lot of people say, and I come across them, and maybe you've come across them as well. Oh, are you a Christian? Yes. Oh, right. And so when did you become a Christian? Oh, well, you know, I grew up in a Christian home and go to church, and that's great. And I haven't heard anything yet, though, that what makes you a Christian. Well, you know, maybe sometimes I read the Bible and I pray, but I still haven't heard anything yet about what makes you a Christian. And so just because you're born in a Christian home does not make you saved. You need to come to that moment yourself. But that's the miracle of God. And like sometimes us as parents, we get concerned about our kids, right? Because we want them to be saved, but we can't force them. Now, growing up in a Christian home meant we went to church, and I grew up in Sydney. Don't hold that too much against me, guys, okay? Because, you know, I know that you don't receive too much news outside of the Adelaide Basin, right, about what happens in other countries around... No, I'm kidding. Sydney, and I went to a Christian school over in... called Condor Park Bible Church, Christian school, and I went through schooling there. And it's going to be very difficult for me to tell a parallel story about Natalie, but maybe we'll get hers next time. Okay? But then eventually, you know, I'd left school and my desire was to be a police officer. I absolutely wanted to be in the police force, and I wanted to serve the community, and I wanted to chase people with blue and red lights on. Okay? And so when I went through school, you know, I loved doing... You might find this a bit strange, but I love doing drama and anything to do with social sciences and English and communication and writing stories and acting and doing school papers. Love all that stuff. The things I weren't good at was things like maths, English, science, probably the key topics of school. But the Lord knew, and I went to study business studies because I had to get into the police force with a diploma of some sort. And then I got offered a job, and then I started work in corporate finance. And so that's how we're able to pay our bills whilst we have ministry opportunities. And so since then, the Lord's been good to us and has been able to provide an income because I work for the Commonwealth Bank. And yeah, that's how we're able to pay our bills. Now, Natalie, she's a teacher, and Natalie teaches at a Christian school 3 days a week and then has two amazing, flexible, relaxing days off in the sun, you know, just doing her own thing, crossword puzzle fanatic. No, it's almost like Natalie's working full-time as it is, but, you know, all of her other opportunities are crammed into those 2 days. But plus we have five children, and three are here. We bought the well-behaving ones. Okay, so we brought Isabel and Annie and Liam, and we left the two older ones that are your age group back at home. That was convenient. Yeah. Yeah, year 12. Yeah. And so the way that we served the Lord in ministry is that when we were married 25, 6, you can do the maths, right, that many years ago, and then 5 years later we started with Hayley and then Adelaide, et cetera, et cetera. So, and we have one little girl who's with the Lord in heaven. And that was probably one of the most trying times of our lives. But I can tell you that when you come through trying times, really tough times in life, and you don't walk away from God, instead you walk to him, then God can bless you. And so we remember that we... Sometimes we like to say to people we have six children because we still remember her and we know that she's alive and in God's presence, and that's the best place that she can be. So we serve the Lord in children's ministry, and so we run the children's ministries in Bendigo, and we have a kids club on Friday night. And so normally I'll be speaking. I have our kids club can range anywhere from, say, 40 children to 55 children. And I have a leadership team of about 20 to 24 young people. So you can think about those ratios, right? So we have teams and we run two different kids clubs at the same time. So we run one junior group and one older group. And so then we swap over and we do all sorts of things. So right now I'm interested in training young people in ministry. And so I really appreciate this opportunity to talk to you guys. Now, I think I've maybe eaten up maybe 10 minutes of my hour so far, and so we'll get stuck into it. That's just a bit of background for you, so you know a little bit about who we are. Now, this booklet in front of you looks very professional, but yeah, anyway, don't scratch too deep. The idea is that you can follow along, okay? So if you're the type of person that loves to put your hand up and answer questions and tell stories and interact, then you can do that, okay? It's probably six or seven of you here, right, that love to do that, yeah? Yeah, I'm watching your eyes go. However, if you like to keep your head down and listen carefully and just look for the answer to the next, that's okay too, all right? But I would encourage you, if you do have a question, then ask a question. Please do not be, there is no such thing as a silly question, just a silly answer. And I'm responsible for that. So if anything pops into your mind at all, except for sporty stuff, I'm happy to answer, okay? Now, as we go through, like you might be thinking, or you might have a question that you would like to talk about privately, and that's okay too. You know, Mrs. Roberts and I can spend a few minutes if you have a question. That's all fine as well. All right, so let's go. I'm going to talk through. I've got some notes that I'm going to work through just to keep me on track because I love to tell stories and go off on trails everywhere. But these 20 questions, and you can see I've cheated a little bit because question 9 has 10 parts, should keep us in track. If I've skipped something, you just let me know, right? I get 3 goes at skipping. If I skip 3 things, the talk's over and you're off to the beach, all right? So pay attention and watch out. So I've been asked today to talk about friendships, and it's an interesting mix. So friendships and also a number of other things to do with friendships, but there was another one there that was a big mystery to me, and I was asked to talk to you about being a good tribe leader. I didn't know that you were breaking into tribes, so I didn't understand the connection. So I went to your church website, looked through your doctrinal statements. This is a terminology here I don't understand. You know, like, well, how to be a tribe leader? I didn't even find out myself. No, that's okay. I didn't do that. I sort of figured out that it'd be about leadership, and so we'll cover off a bit of that as we go too. First one. Let's do a bit of an interesting introduction. I'm going to say a few things, young people, that you already know. As a matter of fact, most of these things you already know. And it's like most of the time when you hear preaching, right, in church, and you hear sermons, you already know that information. But God knows that we're forgetful and that we need repetition. But often it's also the case that we have the head knowledge, but it hasn't been applied to our heart. And so we don't have a conviction about that. All right? So the Holy Spirit needs to work in our hearts then to say, hey, this is something I want you to focus on. And you know it when God's speaking to your heart. Okay? You know it. Because then you need to make a choice. Do I listen? Do I obey? Just like we've just been talking with the kids. Okay? And so I'm, first of all, very encouraged. And I said this before when Uncle John or Brother John was talking. I'm very encouraged that you guys want to be involved in leadership. I don't know whether there was lots of discussions with you in the background saying, would you like to be involved in leadership? No, we know you actually have to. I don't know whether you were voluntary to be, were you? No, I don't know. It's okay. Some were tapped on the shoulder. You're doing this. Here's a sheriff's badge that we conveniently printed your name on earlier. It is... It can be terrifying when you're given an opportunity to have an influence on other people. One of my worst nightmares is going into the pulpit and preaching and being unprepared. It is one of my worst nightmares. We actually watched a film about that the day. Don't worry, I'm not going to go off on another trail. I've got that look then. And that actually happened. Like, it was a Christian film, and the guy woke up, and it turns out he's the church pastor, and he then was asked to preach immediately, and he had nothing, and it was embarrassing. But when you have that opportunity to minister to young people, it's a mystery how God can use us. But friendships form a really important foundation for you to be able to serve the Lord. I'll say that if you actually are influenced by the wrong friends, and if you are being the wrong friend, then you don't really have much of an opportunity to be successful in ministry anyway. Now, am I saying if you have no friends that you can't serve the Lord? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's a combination of those things, right? Because if you're being the wrong friend, then that means most likely that you're not walking with the Lord. So, first of all, friendships that honour God, God is interested in every aspect of your life, okay? He's interested because he loves you, okay? God shows his love to you and his ongoing love for you, not just at that point of salvation, right? So not just rescuing you from the penalty of your sin undeservedly, but then his love is continued to be poured out to you. And so he is interested in every aspect of your life. And he does that because he loves you, okay? Not because he wants to control you. So because God's interested in every aspect of your life, then that's the next bit. He is interested in your friends. Okay, he's interested in your friends. And this is because God something you. Oh, yes, he loves you. I said that already. Yeah. He loves you not because he wants to control you. Do not mistake, and this is the same with other authorities in our lives, and I said this to the children, right, with rules. God is not interested in having strings attached to every part of your life and yanking on that string and making you like a robot. Because if he was, then you would be. Because you would have no free choice. You would have no choice. God would make you obey. But he doesn't. I like to say that God is a gentleman. I only like to say that because I heard that from somebody else. But God gives you that opportunity. When you see God's love, when you hear about God's love, when you read about God's love, then you need to respond to that in kind with love towards God. So we know that the Bible tells us that we love him because he first loved us. And so there are many authorities, not just God, but many authorities in our lives. And I'm acknowledging, young people, that some authorities can abuse that power. Okay? Some authorities go out of their way not to be friends with us and not to be friendly. Some authorities and even some homes can lack the balance of power and love and mercy. Okay? But that doesn't mean that they are a picture of what God is like with his interest in your life. Okay? So when people hurt us, and it could be an authority, it could be a friend, it could be someone in the church. When someone hurts us, says something to us that's nasty, does something that's nasty, then you need to know, as a founding point here, that they are actually acting against God's will. Because that's not what God's purpose is for your life. He can use those times in your life to make your walk with him sweeter, but that's not God condoning those things. And as you grow in life, you must have the Lord as your best friend. Okay? You must have him as your best friend. Friends can hurt you as well. Right. Now, if I asked you, and I'm not going to ask you to talk about it, but if I asked you to think about maybe a time in your life when you've had a friend perhaps hurt you, say something, do something that was very bad, that can have major impacts on our life. Let's talk about some types of friends. And maybe you have some of these friends. Maybe you had some of these friends. Maybe you will have some of these friends. The first one goes like this, okay? Let's see if you can see if you have these friends. Oh, I'm like your friend. I'm your bestie friend. And then tomorrow, they're someone else's bestie friend. Hey, oh, I thought we were best friends. But they've moved on, literally, as the wind blows through. They've moved on based on what's happening around them, right? Or what's happening in your life. They're called a fair-weather friend. Now, here's your challenge. I've given you one little line. This question is one little line. You can write really tiny and try and squeeze it on there in question two if you like, but that's all right. They're called a fair weather friend, okay? It almost depends on what the weather is like, depending on whether they're going to, I'm their bestie or not. I wonder if you have friends like that. The next one. How about a friend that says that they're your friend, but they are influenced in ways that you don't like or you know are wrong? And when you're spending time chilling out with your friends, I don't know whether that's an Adelaide-y phrase or not, but when you're spending time with these friends, it's like you're always managing to get into trouble. They're called bad influence friends. You have some of them? Or maybe you've got a friend that you can just never please. You can never be good enough for them. Spending time with them makes you feel like that you are never enough. You just can't come up to their standard. And it's like exhausting. You just can't do enough good stuff to make them like you. You have to earn their friendship. That's what we call performance-based friends, okay? Good in sports, good in car racing, terrible in friendships. Performance-based friends. Then there's the friends that use you. They want something from you, and it seems like you're always doing stuff for them. You're always giving to them, but they don't give back to you, right? And that can be exhausting as well. I call them sponge friends. I love to say Bob, but that wouldn't be age group appropriate. It's good for Isabel. She loves my dad jokes. Sponge friends. Are there any other kinds of friends that you can think of? Oh, yeah, we'll get to good friends. We will get to good friends. Yeah. Any other kinds of friends, though, that are bad friends? Any bad kinds of friends to have? No friends. Yeah, that's a depressing one of all, isn't it? Although... Oh, right. Oh, sorry. I was going to say incoming. Whew. Okay. There's something going on here that I don't know about. Sorry? Yeah. Oh, two-faced friends, yeah. One way to you, one way to somebody else. You read my notes. Definitely. No, that's called a manipulating friend. Yeah. They can act one way, one minute, the other way, because they're doing that to get what they want. Yeah. And that's a terrible kind of friend as well. Hopefully, guys, you don't know anybody that is all those things. Because that would be a nightmare. I would say to you, if you've got anybody in your life that is all those things, exit strategy. Seriously. But we'll talk about how to exit friends as well in just a minute. All right, well, that can be rather depressing, right, when we focus on all those things, and particularly when we're starting to throw cast aspersions across the group here. But that's okay, we're amongst friends, kind of. Actually, what kind of friend does that? Just trying to think. Yeah, I don't have a definition for that one. A brutal friend. Nasty. Anyway, well, we could dwell on all types of different bad friendships, but we do want to spend time talking about what is a good friend, right? What is a godly friend? What kind of character traits influence good, healthy friendships? Okay. Now, God is interested in what kind of friend you are. Okay, so it's easy to look at someone else across the group and talk about what kind of friend they are, but it's very difficult to start thinking about what kind of friend you are. And I trust that maybe when we get to question 9, you can start thinking about and doing some spiritual reflection and maybe praying, Lord, show me if I have these character traits or if I'm missing some and I need to be better at that. Okay, and you can do so with God's help. So God is interested in what kind of friend you are, because friendship is God's gift to us. Okay, that's the next one. Friendship is God's gift to us. Without friends, life is boring. Life is a lonely road. And there are people that due to what they, due to their faithfulness to God, they have had to forego friends, and friends have walked away from them. We can see that exactly. That point of being lonely without friends, we can see that from the earthly ministry of Christ. We saw that Jesus got to the point where even the disciples, they abandoned him right when you probably needed support the most. But we know that we know Jesus is God's son. We know that the Father was there. But at that moment, you know, upon the cross, Jesus was alone. And bearing our sin, he knows what it's like to be alone. So if you ever feel like you don't have friends, then you can talk to the one that not only wants to be your best friend, but he knows how you feel. Okay? And so friendship is God's gift to us because he knows how important it is. He made us this way. He actually made us to want to have friends and to want to input into friends. That's the way we've been made. So now, some friendships are worth absolutely dying to keep. Some friendships are. Other friendships are only going to lead to disappointment, regret, and also sorrow. Okay? So, as a matter of fact, it does say somewhere, I didn't think I captured the reference, but it does say that you can save yourself from many...